Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 42 in this series, entitled How to Gain Control Over Your Life, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning to all. We're holding Tanya Perek Dalet, the 14th chapter, that's page 38 of Yutasamad Beis. In the previous two chapters, 12 and 13, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, discussed and analyzed in an elaborate manner the spiritual profile of the man called the Beinoni, the ordinary man who is the intermediate between the tzaddik, the perfectly moral complete person, and the rasha, the wicked individual. He analyzed the struggles of the Beinoni, the daily conflicts and battles that this human being encounters, his lifestyle, his awareness, what he achieves and what he does not achieve in his life. And now the Alter Rebbe continues discussing this unique personality in chapter 14. V'hine midas ha-beinani, hi midas kol adam. Now the rank of the Beinani is one that is attainable by every man. Va'achareha kol adam yimshech. And therefore, each person should strive after it. Everything that has been said above concerning this personality called the Beinoni is not something which is applicable to a select few, or even to many people, but not everyone. He says, the rank of the Beinoni, the life, the perspective, the behavior, and daily lifestyle of the Beinoni is something that relates to every single human being. Every person can be this Beinoni, and since every person can be, so therefore every person should strive to be the Beinoni. This is the goal, this is the mission, which relates to every single human being in his or her individual life. And the Alter Rebbe explains, Shekal Adam Yachel Yeis Beinoni B'chal Eisa B'chal Shah. For every person can be a Beinoni at any time or any hour. In other words, it's not like a person can say, if you would have come to me a year before, if I would have been in a different type of situation, then maybe I can be in the state of a Beinoni. And then it's not applicable to every person. It's maybe applicable to every person, but not at all times. And therefore it excludes certain people. So the Alter Rebbe says, no. At every moment of your life, at every fork in the road, at before every experience, at every hour, every second of man's life, he or she can actually be the Beinoni. Notwithstanding the situation, psychological, mental, spiritual, physical situation in which he is standing in.
Notwithstanding that even though the situation might be a little bit more difficult, let's say years later, as compared to...
Right. If a person can say, Mela, last year I was in a more refined state, I didn't have these challenges, I didn't indulge that much, I haven't gone astray, I didn't sin so much. But look at my past year. What happened in the past year of my life?
Yeah?
It was terrible. So me, today, I'm a lost case. If not a lost case, but not the Beinoni the Alter Rebbe discusses. So he says, B'chal Eis or B'chal Shah, wherever you stand in your life at that moment, man can be a Beinoni. Why? So he says, Ki ha-Beinoni einei mayiz b'ra. Because a Beinoni does not abhor evil. Unlike the tzaddik, he does not find evil and negativity repulsive, disgusting, or abhorrent. In that sense, the Beinoni is an ordinary man. Evil is not disgusting in his life. Evil can be very tempting. all types of evil. Shezehu davar hamaser lelev. For this is a matter entrusted to the heart. This issue of abhorring something which is evil, something which is antithetical to the divine will, something which is a stark contrast to one's own godly soul, this sense of abhorrence is something, it's a matter which is entrusted to the heart. And not everyone can be demanded to control and to be a full master over his heart, over every emotional experience, over every sensation, feeling, which his heart emotes. For even if at certain times, the Beinoni, or the ordinary individual, can abhor evil, every person knows that at certain times there is something negative which you do not only not do. You are despised by the very thought of doing. You are repulsed by the very thought of doing it. You abhor the very activity. So he says, that's true. The Beinoni can also abhor evil. But nevertheless, v'lo kala itim shavos. Not all times are alike. There can be times in his life which, as a result of the fact that it's an auspicious time, as a consequence of the fact that this time he meditated or contemplated, or another circumstance or reality that emerges in his life, he comes to experience an abhorrence towards evil, sometimes towards a specific evil. So even if a man, like the Beinoni, can be a Mayas Bira, it's only at certain times. You cannot say that always, exclusively, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the Beinoni looks at evil and he's repulsed by it. Me, never. No relationship to me. Befeidish not. That's the tzaddik. The tzaddik has been morally perfected not only externally, internally. He has rid himself from the egotistical soul. The Beinoni is not Mayas Bira. So if we would say that what is a Beinoni? A Beinoni is moral perfection. Not only without, also within. A Beinoni means you rid yourself from any perspective, any desire, any temptation which is antithetical to the will and blueprint of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then by no means can we realistically, in an honest and sincere way, tell ourselves that we can be Beinoni. Zogt der Alter Rebbe, no, a Beinoni is not a Mayas Bira. A Beinoni doesn't abhor evil. Ella, rather, the task of the Beinoni is only Sur Meirav Asei Tov, to turn away from evil and do good, which is a quote from Tehillim. Dahainu, this means bepoyel mamish, an actual practice, to turn away from negativity and to do good. B'maise dibur machshava, in deed, in speech, and in thought. Shebehem, in these matters, as opposed to internal, emotional matters of the heart, hapchira, v'hayichelus, v'harishus, nesuna l'chol adam. Every man is given the choice, the ability, and the freedom, la'asayis, u'ladaber, v'lachshayiv, gam mashehu neged taivis liboy, v'hofcha mamash, to act, speak, and think, even that which is contrary to the desire of his heart, and diametrically opposed to it. Every human being, no matter who he or she is, no matter in what situation this person stands, no matter their background, their affiliation, their state of mind or heart, their challenges, their struggles, which every person has the full choice and the full control not to behave in a manner which implements the evil cravings and temptations coming from this man's heart. To tell the human being that it's easy, or even that you can rid yourself from that temptation, that we cannot say. But the Beinoni is not someone who rids himself from temptations. The Beinoni is someone who in behavior, in his thought, speech, and action, he does not fall prey, he does not enslave himself to these emotional, husky, powerful temptations. And this, every person has the choice. every person has a choice to do, to talk, and to think in a manner which is diametrically opposed to what your heart craves. Your heart taker craves it, but nowhere is there a rule that forces the person that he has to take that craving and bring it to fruition, indulge in it in his thoughts, speak about it, or actually do something upon it. You can disregard it, you can ignore it. And the Alter Rebbe continues and details this. Ki gam b'shah shahalev chaymed u'mesava eizei taiva gashmas. For even when one's heart craves and desires a material pleasure, beheter, be'isr chas v'shalom, whether permitted or whether forbidden, God forbid. Whether the craving is something which is permitted, in which case it's only the lustful nature of the desire that is evil, instead of desiring the pleasure for the sake of heaven, rather desiring it for self-gratification, or whether the objective object or thing or person to which he's craving to is something which is forbidden. So it's a desire which is intrinsically evil. Whatever sort of craving it is, at that moment, that very moment, when the heart is on fire with this passion and this temptation, he can conquer this desire and divert his attention from it altogether. And not allow it to master his life, to become the balabas, the boss over his life, to dictate him, to force him to indulge in it intellectually and emotionally, and with his power of talk and speech and action. No. He can control himself. And this is the power of the Beinoni. And this is the unique profile of the Beinoni. To say that the Beinoni has rid himself from evil, absolutely not. The Beinoni has two souls. And as a result of this, these two souls, he has a dichotomy. And he has two forces pulling him in two directions. And therefore, it's very possible and inevitable that he will experience negative animalistic cravings. Whatever they may be, it depends. A person's animal soul can be more refined, can be less refined. The cravings can be very ugly, very vicious, can be less ugly. But that's irrelevant to the issue discussed. Whatever those cravings may be, at that very moment, the heart is on fire. The heart is telling you, go ahead, go engage in this thing. Seems that it's a lost battle. Says the Alter Rebbe, no. The Beinoni knows the heart taka wants it, but nowhere is there a rule that you have to follow that, that you have to behave in that way. To get rid of it is something else, but not to allow that craving to take over your life. That every single person can do at every moment. It's such a powerful craving. So as we shall see in a moment, the Beinoni could stop and say, fine, you're a powerful craving. But I am not going to allow you to dictate my life. What happens? What is the scenario? The taiva is screaming and shouting that this is what I want. And we all know that when the taiva is on fire, taiva is the lost. It's not like we feel ourselves as two people. I'm addressing the taiva as if it would be a second individual. When we have a taiva, it's not like you have a taiva. It's I have the taiva. It's not a second person having it, and I'm telling you, hey, I don't have to listen to you. The taiva overwhelms you. You have the taiva. That's you. You become, huh? You become what you want. You become what you desire. That's what you feel. So the Alter Rebbe says, no, but the Beinoni doesn't have to allow that to dictate his life. Why? What does he say? But Amrei Lelibe, he declares to himself, or literally, he says to his heart, and that's the first, even before we go further, what he says, that's the first step of spiritual growth and living a healthy life. But Amrei Leliboy, he tells his heart, which means he identifies immediately where the temptations are stemming from. He realizes the duality in life. That's the first thing. But Amrei Leliboy, he talks to his taiva. Who is he talking to? He knows that there's a second personality within me. The very awareness of the dichotomy in life, the very awareness that there are two forces, there are two consciousnesses. Each consciousness has an inherent place in man's existence, in man's psyche. That very awareness is the first and foremost ingredient in living a healthy spiritual, psychological, emotional, and physical life. If we make the mistake, and we often make the mistake, that when we experience that type of that is who we are, absolutely, unequivocally, so that's who I am. Where are you going? Why should you disregard it? Why should you ignore it? Why should you deny yourself that pleasure? And that is exactly the deception that the taiva gives us, that the lust gives us. This is really what you want. The Beinoni immediately identifies, I want it, I'm not going to deny it. I really want it. I really want to engage in this thing which is unhealthy, whatever it may be, in every issue of man's life. More intimate issues, less intimate issues, our relationships, our business lives, our personal lives, whatever it may be. But the first thing he identifies that there's an animal soul within me, and this temptation is coming from there. And now he turns to this heart, Ba'amri l'libi, and he tells it, Einani reitze liyeis rasha afilu shah achas. I do not want to be a rasha. I do not want to be a wicked individual, even for a moment. Why not? What's the big deal of being a rasha for a moment? Ki einani reitze liyeis muvdol v'nifrit chas v'shalim me Hashem echad b'shum eifin. Because under no circumstances do I want to be parted and severed, heaven forbid, from the one God, from Hashem Echad. Kediksiv, as it's written in Yeshaya, Perik Nun Tes Pasuk Beis, Avaynei Seichem Avdilin V'Goyimer. Your iniquities separate you from Hashem. And since one's iniquities are those instruments, those vehicles that have a power to separate one from Hashem, because an iniquity by definition is something which is antithetical to the divine will. It's something which is entire being, is something which is in contrast, in opposed to Hashem's will. So engaging in this activity separates one from the all-pervading, all-penetrating, true reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He tells his heart, I do not want to be a Rasha. Why? Even for a moment. Because I don't want to sever my relationship from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rak, however, on the contrary, ani reitze ledavka by nafshi ruchi v'nishmasi. Instead, I want to unite with Hashem, my nefesh, my ruach and neshama, my three soul energies. Beislapshon b'shloisha levushav yizbarach. How do I unite my soul with Hashem through investing them in His three garments? Shehi ma'ise diburu machshava b'Hashem v'teirasi mitzvos. Namely, through action, speech, and thought, dedicated to Hashem, His Torah, and His commandments. These are called, so to speak, His garments, His three garments, because they lend expression to His wisdom, to His Torah, to His mitzvahs, to His will, which are one with Hashem Himself, as explained in the previous chapters. So therefore, I want to connect my soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by investing it in those deeds, in those words, in those thoughts that are godly, that are holy, and those are the thoughts, deeds, and activities of Torah mitzvahs. And Alter Rebbe continues that the Beinoni is telling this to his heart, that I don't want to be a Rasha, I don't want to be separated from Hashem even for a moment, I want to be connected to Him. Why? What's the big deal if you will be separated from Him? Why do you want to be connected? May Ahava Musuteris Shabalibi Lashem. This desire arises out of the love of Hashem that is hidden in my heart. Kimoy belev klolos Yisrael Shenikru Oyaveshmecha. Just as this love is found in the heart of all Jews who are all called in Tehillim, in Perek Hey, lovers of Hashem. Lovers of your name, of Hashem's name, by reason of their inherent love of Hashem, although this love can be mesuteris, which means concealed, that they don't feel it consciously. And he continues to contemplate this. that va'afilu kal shebekalim. For this reason, even a kal shebekalim, a most unworthy individual, yachel limser nafshei al kedushas Hashem, is capable of sacrificing his life for the sanctity of Hashem. If he is forced to deny Hashem's reality, to deny Hashem's name, he has that potential, that readiness to sacrifice his very life. Surely I am not inferior to him. Ella, shenichnas beiruach shtus. It's only that a spirit of folly has overcome, has entered him. V'nidmeloi, and he imagines that committing this sin will not affect his Jewishness. And that his soul will not be severed thereby from the God of Israel. V'gam, in addition to this, he also forgets the love of Hashem hidden in his heart, and as a result of that, he can act in a way which is inconsistent with this most deep and inherent love to Hashem that exists within him. Avalani. But as for me, one should say to himself, Einani reitzelius sheita kamayu lichbeda emes. I have no desire to be such a fool as he to deny the truth. And by this awareness and this thought, every human being can disregard the deep, powerful temptation and craving that his animalistic soul produces in his heart, and not follow up on it, not indulge in it, whether through his thought, in his speech, or in his action. What is he exactly telling his heart? And as you ask the question, it seems over here somewhat like a complex mathematical explanation that he has to explain to his Yetzirah. So you asked, when the person has a taiva, that seems so powerful. Will this whole pilpul, so to speak, will this whole pulpit sermon help to alleviate this taiva? When this craving is burning and burning in man's psyche, it threatens to overwhelm him. So the Alter Rebbe told you don't have to act upon it. How don't you have to? What's the solution not to act upon it? Explain yourself this whole apparently complicated idea, and then you won't do it. And you're saying apparently the taiva overwhelms us. It immediately overwhelms us. There's no time to contemplate, no time to think, no time to meditate. And the best proof of what you're saying is what? What's the best proof? That it happens constantly, huh? It happens constantly. Every person knows. We have taivas, we have lusts, we have cravings. We can know at that moment that it's unhealthy. But our knowledge is relegated to the hypothetical, intellectual, mathematical compartments of our brain. It doesn't have any real relevance. Why? Because this is what you want. So it's irrelevant what your mind understands mathematically, so to speak. This is what you want. There's nothing more powerful than that. This is what you want. This means this is who you are. This is what you're interested in. This is what's going to give you gratification, happiness, and joy. That's what a taiva is. A taiva doesn't mean that you want it. A taiva means that I want it. I'm going to enjoy it. A person is not like a behemoth. Since when? What the Alter Rebbe is saying here is something very powerful. And it's good to try out next time. Try it out once. Only once. Twice. See if it works. If it doesn't work, you can always give it up. The Alter Rebbe says like this. The person has a taiva. He's not a tzaddik. The Beinoni is not Mayas Bara, doesn't abhor evil. He experiences this temptation. You have that temptation, right? Says the Alter Rebbe, no one is forced to act upon it. The taiva exists. But taking it a step further and implementing it in your activity, actually acting upon it, that nobody is forced. As he said in chapter 12, that mayach shalat al alev, the mind rules the heart. If your mind decides and creates a conviction within you that I do not want to fulfill this taiva, you are not forced to do it. The taiva will not be able to be more powerful than you. And a person can try this. If we do not allow our mayach to function, yeah, of course, naturally, inevitably, the taiva will emerge, it will grow, it will accelerate, it will get momentum, and it will take you over. But if you, at that moment, put a stop sign, say, fine, identify it. Amri Liliboy. But I don't want to do it. I believe that this is incorrect, this is unhealthy. And fight it, say, I'm not going to do it. Mayach is more powerful than Lev. Two people are wrestling. Mayach is more powerful and it will defeat the taiva. But now the question is, why shouldn't you want to do it? If your mayach has a power not to obey Lev, but why not? The Lev is shouting, this is what you want. This is going to alleviate your depression. This part is more practical than the next part. This is going to alleviate your melancholiness. This is going to give you gratification. So why not? I'm not justifying the Yetzirah. I'm speaking in the name of the Yetzirah. For a moment. We have to realize where he's coming from. Listen, you have to know your enemy's technology. The problem we often have is we think the Yetzirah is a stupid fool. Yetzirah is not so stupid. Essentially, he's stupid. The Yetzirah talks in a very sophisticated way. Okay? If a person has a taiva and can immediately identify where it's stemming from and what's its power, that's half of the cure. Often there's a taiva and that's it. Analyze it. Talk to it. What do you want exactly? You say that this is me. This is going to alleviate my depression. Okay, one second. Hold on a moment. Says that, but let me think for a moment. Let me reflect. Why do I have to do it now? I'll do it in 60 seconds. What's going to happen? I'll be depressed for another 60 seconds. The taiva says, no, gewalt. I want to alleviate your depression at this moment. You were depressed for a few hours. You'll be depressed for another 60 seconds. What's going to happen? Think about it. This is the mayach. What does the mayach produce now? Why should the mayach produce a conviction that's antithetical to the lev? So the Alter Rebbe says, the primary thought that is helpful in this issue that the Beinoni produces in his mind is one thing.